Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
What's happening in Washington and how it affects you? Tony and Melissa in the morning. Welcome Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600.
Congressman, once again, we welcome you to the show. How are you today?
Thank you, Tony. I hadn't heard that little lead-in. Well done.
Only for the big stars, my friends.
We just got it made. Isn't it nice? It's very
wow,
nice, Congressman.
I like it. I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, well, I hope it makes you feel important. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. All right. Now, Congressman, the Senate passed an $8.3 billion coronavirus emergency bill yesterday. This is headed to President Trump's desk. First off, is he going to sign it? And if so, what changed from the initial offer of $2.5 billion?
Yeah, Tony, glad you asked about that. Really important. Yes, it's going to become law momentarily. There was broad agreement. You know, we have a lot of conversations on Friday mornings about all the fighting. There was very broad agreement once we started talking to the experts about the coronavirus that we needed this kind of money. And it is really going to help us here in Connecticut and around the country. Of that $8 billion, about $2 billion is going to get in the next 30 days distributed to states so that states, if they don't have enough testing kits, can buy testing kits. So that if they need to hire more people to monitor our senior citizens' facilities where this thing seems to really concentrate and do its damage. So in the next month or so, very substantial funds will be out there. And then, of course, there's the longer slog, $3 billion. Three of the eight will go to really turbocharge the work in trying to develop a vaccine and therapies. And that, of course, doesn't happen fast. You know, a vaccine is at best. I was talking with the vice president and his team this week. At its very best, we're looking at kind of 15, 16, maybe 17 months for a vaccine. But, that money will be important. And as you know, Tony, Melissa, it's also really important that all of your listeners, all of us, do our part by, you know, behaving in the ways that will minimize the inevitable spread. We don't have cases in Connecticut yet, right? But it's coming.
Yeah, and I'm actually glad to hear, Congressman, that, you know, some of that money, you just actually brought up kits, which that is one of our stories this morning. Governor Lamont just asked for more kits yesterday. We got, I think, 400 or 500 here in Connecticut, and we're already, like, spreading thin on that. So I'm glad to hear that the money's going to go towards that. That's great. And certainly the vaccine, I know everybody's kind of itching to just get an FDA-approved vaccine. That certainly will help, too. I did have a question, though. You know, you travel an awful lot. I don't have to tell you that. But I was curious. I find it very interesting that, you know, you've got Metro North, they're upping their sanitizing, very popular places like Disney World, upping sanitizing. I'm just curious, you know, we talk about time and time again, airplanes get people sick, even when there is no coronavirus, even when it isn't flu season, people get sick almost any time they get on a plane, a train, anything. I'm just surprised that we wait until the coronavirus to come along that we start sanitizing public transportation more. Do you think that with this happening and with some of these practices going into place now, better late than never, I guess, will it stick? Are they going to continue these? Like, are we going to keep funding public transportation, not getting our families sick? Because it really actually is a problem with or without coronavirus, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, you're right, and you're good to point that out, Melissa. I mean, you know, we've had 12 deaths of the coronavirus so far in the United States. We have thousands and thousands of deaths just with the regular flu, as many as 35,000 deaths every single year as a result of the flu. And there's always a trade-off, right? I mean, you could hire millions of people to spend every day, wiping down and sanitizing trains, planes, and that sort of thing. That just raises the prices for the use of those things. So, you know, that's certainly something to talk about. But Melissa, I think the really important thing, there's a lot we can do that is for all practical purposes free. And there's a lot we shouldn't do because it's not helpful. You know, I had an opportunity to talk to the sort of experts on this in Washington. And frankly, I've started washing my hands probably as many as 20 times a day. Now, I probably shake more hands than the average person out there every week. But, just being ferocious about washing your hands, being conscious about not touching surfaces that might have been touched by other people. If you experience symptoms, getting them checked out quickly. Melissa, as you probably know, this virus wreaks its havoc with the older population. Almost all of the fatalities are in people over the ages of 70 and 80. So, you know, Tony Fauci, who runs the infectious disease element of the National Institute of Health, said, you know, if you're in that age group and you don't need to travel, maybe you don't. You know, maybe you don't take that vacation. That's not obviously advised or necessary for the younger population. It's certainly not designed to get anybody panicked. But there's just all these basic sort of things that we can do. I'll tell you something funny. You know, as I said, I shake an awful lot of hands every week. And we're trying to move to a world where we're just, you know, bumping elbows or you know, saying namaste or all the other things that they're recommending. My point is there's a lot we can do as individuals that will really dramatically slow this thing.
So every time we see Congressman Jim Himes now, we just have to say namaste? Is that what we're doing?
That's
how we
go.
Greet you? All right. Next time you say it, namaste.
All right. Congressman Jim Himes is here. Sir, just one more question before we let you go. We just got through with Super Tuesday. In your opinion, who's a stronger contender to take on Trump? Is it Biden? Is it Bernie? And are you surprised by how well Vice President Biden did?
Well, yeah, like everybody else. My gosh, what a roller coaster, right? You know, I mean, Vice President Biden had been written off for dead, you know, 2 weeks ago, and boom, now all of a sudden he's the front runner. Let me answer your question, Tony, as best I can. It's not so much what I feel. This presidential election gets won in probably three states, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Hate to say that to all of us who live in Connecticut, but those are the three states, the swing states that are going to determine this election. And as I talk to the many elected officials in those three states, they say that Vice President Biden has very, very strong appeal in those states and that they worry, quite frankly, that as much respect as they may have for Senator Sanders, that, you know, that his solutions are kind of a step too far for a lot of the folks that live in those three states. So as you might imagine, I'm all about doing what we need to do to try to win this election. And I'm just telling you what people in those critical, critical states are telling me.
All right, sir. I know you're very, very busy. We have run out of time, but we thank you so much for taking the time. And we'll talk to you again next Friday.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to that that walk-on music you guys have put together. I'm feeling a spring in my step today.
I noticed in your newscast, and it made my my head just kind of like a twist when I heard it. Norwalk Hour sharing that one student recently was diagnosed with tuberculosis. I guess this was at Norwalk Community College. Now, the infected student no longer on campus and being monitored by the Norwalk Health Department, but it's not clear how this student got the disease. And it got me to think. First of all, tuberculosis, that's a really rare commodity.
That's like,
I mean,
old school.
I mean,
not to say old school, but that hasn't really been. You don't hear about tuberculosis outbreaks or anything.
That used to be something that killed a lot of people, like in the 30s.
That's what I'm saying.
For
right.
God's sakes, we have had that under control for many, many years. To have a breakout even in one student, just to me, I just kind of looked up and said, What is this, 1935?
Right.
You know, and then I started thinking, you know, tuberculosis, coronavirus, the flu. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Live in an iron lung? In a bubble? I mean, like John Travolta in that movie, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
You know, it's when it rains, it pours.
Yeah. Well, and I'm surprised, too, because I think a big reason, Tony, that we haven't heard about tuberculosis or you don't really hear about it too often is because there's a vaccine for it. We're all vaccinated for it. And I mean, your generation, the generation after our generation, I mean, you start getting your vaccinations for tuberculosis. God, Chase got his first one when he was 3 months old.
Yeah,
or something.
Right away.
So I'm surprised that this came about. The other thing with tuberculosis, for anyone who, you know, like I said, we haven't really heard about this too often, but it is certainly caused by bacteria spreading through the air, which is interesting because, you know, coronavirus, same kind of thing, airborne. It could be somebody who coughs, sneezes, even laughs, and then all of a sudden the droplets, if they end up in your frame, if you will, you can get tuberculosis. But again, what is interesting about it is they only contacted everybody in this student's classroom. So I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, you're walking on campus. Why not tell the whole campus that, hey, just so you know, because it had to have come from somewhere, Tony, you know, but the question is, you know, where? I don't know if this was a case of going to another country. Obviously, there are parts of the world, unfortunately, Tony, where they do still struggle with tuberculosis. I know India, parts of Asia, Africa. I remember getting another tuberculosis shot when I went to South Africa 11 years ago. So, I mean, and then I was monitored for 5 more years after I got back just to make sure that I didn't bring anything back with me. So I don't know if this student had been traveling or something like that, but, you know, I'd be very curious to see where this kind of came from. And we haven't heard from the school yet as to why the whole campus wasn't notified, just because it's airborne, just like, you know, coronavirus is.
All right, just be careful. Cover your mouth. Put on a mask. Better yet, stay in your bedroom.
Time for a second cup of coffee as another interesting guest joins the show. Here's Tony's conversation piece on WICC 600.
With us here on the telephone is Joe Carbone, president and CEO of The Workplace. Now, The Workplace is Southwestern Connecticut's Workforce Development Board, and they are a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now you have a program called Platform to Employment, otherwise known as P2E. And what is that? And who are you helping with this?
That's a program that we actually created about 7 years ago. We did it in response to long-term unemployment, which obviously hit millions of people during the Great Recession. It was a market-driven form of a program that help people to be competitive in job search because they had lost their competitiveness. They were folks that were out of work for a couple of years or longer. The economy was in flux, and as a result of it, change was occurring, and they were out of it. Now, we've kept that program now for the past 7 years. It's picked up some new applications in the sense that it's not just the long-term unemployed any longer. It's folks that are 50 years of age and older. This is a group that's facing clear bias in the workforce. We're doing it for a statewide reentry pilot program as well. And we have done it for veterans. That's one of the things I want to talk to you about today. Our experience over the years is that veterans in the PDE program, that 100% of them, I mean, I'd say you can't really beat that number, 100% have gone to work. And we're doing some things coming up shortly that I do want to mention to you about veterans.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that in just 1 second, Joe. I did want to ask, though, for anybody who wants to participate in this, does it cost them anything to get involved with this program?
No, it's program is totally free. The state of Connecticut, through the State Department of Labor, actually gives us a grant to carry out Platform to Employment. So there's no charge, and it's a multi-week course. It will be 5 weeks. Go to class every day for 4 weeks, and by the time you get 2 weeks into that class, your self-confidence is going to be as high as ever. We're going to deal with the emotional issues that come along with unemployment, and then we're going to market you or help to market you with industries that we think the jobs that they have posted, that you're ready for them, and that we provide really a totally free of risk opportunity for employers to give you a chance. And as a result of that, over 80% of the people that come through this program get hired. And the industries that get the subsidy or the wages paid for during that period, about 95% of the time will make the hire. It's a remarkable program.
It sounds like it. Joe Carbone is here, president and CEO of The Workplace. Now, you are launching a new P2E program in Bridgeport. Now, what do you expect that to do, and when is it opening?
The program is actually going to start in mid-April, but it's going to be targeting the veterans. This is, as I said, we've had incredible success with veterans. So we decided to do a cohort in the Bridgeport region. And it will begin in mid-April, but again, they can apply right now. And again, it'll be a 5-week program, and it's going to have a lot of extras in the program so that by the time folks leave that program and start going into the job search world, they're going to be ready for any form of competitiveness that they need in order to get that job. So I would advise any veterans that are listening, go on our website at The Workplace. It would be www.workplace.org. You can apply right there for PE, or you can go to platformtoemployment.com, and you can apply right there. You will hear back shortly after you apply from one of the folks that are working on the program, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to help you to get through this. So let me say this to you, too. We administer other veteran-related programs here at the workplace, and one of them is called the SSVF, which is the Support Services for Veteran Families. We've got incredible discretion to help people with issues like housing, if they're into a bill that had accumulated with respect to their rent or their utilities, clothing, or whatever. We can help folks through this process and be very, very holistic in terms of our service. So my advice to veterans would be, please don't let this opportunity go by. We can help you, and the record shows that, and we want you to come out and apply for this program.
And we are talking about right now the P2E program, Platform to Employment, and we're talking to Joe, the president and CEO of the workplace, which is in charge of this program. Now, Joe, how many spots do you have? We know that applications are open today, online starting today, but how many spots are available? I've got to imagine that this would be pretty competitive to get into this program, no?
Well, actually, every class is about 25. And if we needed more, we'll do it. I mean, I'm not limited to the number of classes we can do. So they're going to be in cohorts of 25. Oh. But I can do one class, or we can do four, five, six. We're not going to turn people away. They obviously have to be ready, and they have to want to be a part of it. But if there is volume, we'll just be doing more cohorts.
What if you've taken the class before?
If you've taken it before and it didn't work, it doesn't matter. Just apply again. And so long as your credentials as a veteran are in place, we will give you another chance.
Fair enough. Joe, thank you so much. If people want more information, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, they can go to the workplace website, the one I just gave. If you just do some doodling on that, it will get you to the application part of it. And even before that, if they just hit the P2E or Platform to Employment site, they'll get a general idea of a definition of the program and what to expect. So I think that's the easiest way to do it. And if worse comes to worse and they have trouble with that, interested parties may call. It's a toll-free number, 866-683-1682.
Joe, thank you so much for taking the time. We have run out of time, but good luck with the project. I hope you help many, many people. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much.